Dean Williams, your final comments on how this is playing out in the last few days of this race in Virginia.
Well, it's interesting. You know, we saw that ad that Youngkin put out, I believe it was Monday or two, I think it was Monday. And it, although Beloved wasn't mentioned in the ad and the book wasn't explicitly mentioned, it didn't take long for opposition researchers or journalists to Google Laura Murphy and find a 2013 Washington Post article about her her efforts to ban Beloved. Now, Laura Murphy said in that article she didn't necessarily want to ban it altogether forever from the curriculum. She said that, you know, she wanted parents to at least have a say in what books were assigned or have a say in opting what, you know, whether their children could opt out in reading a book. However, at
we
the
have
same
5 seconds, Julia.
Yeah. You've really seen McAuliffe's campaign very much seize upon this, especially at a time when you see a lot of big galvanization of black voters in Virginia. It'll be interesting to see how this impacts
Julia
it.
Manchester, thanks so much for joining us from The Hill. And Dean Dana Williams of Howard University, thank you so much. That does it for our show. A very fond farewell to two special team members, our fellows Julia Thomas and Adriano Contreras. Julia and Adriano joined us before the pandemic swept the globe, demonstrated remarkable talent and resilience through this difficult time. We thank you both for your dedication. Wish you the best as you move forward in your careers. I'm Amy Goodman. Stay safe. One
day. This is KBOO Portland, listener-powered, non-corporate community radio.
Like the KBOO Community Radio Facebook page. Find KBOO Community Radio on Facebook and like our page and have events, ticket giveaways, and great information delivered directly to your personal feed. 1 out of every 7 humans is on Facebook, so using Facebook to share KBOO with your friends and family has never been easier. Like KBOO on Facebook today.
Good morning. You are listening to KBOO Portland. This is The Gap. My name is Tammy. With me is the lovely, brilliant, fantastic, jubilant, inspirational, even, Althea. How are you, Althea? Oh, and that is fine. Just trying to get all this stuff working. And in the meantime, here's some lo-fi. Lo-fi to try to get all of these things out of the way and situated, and we did. Althea, how are you?
Hello, I'm doing well. Happy to be here.
Yes, what beats live radio? Nothing.
I'm able to hear my own jacket, so I'm going to sit very still.
It's a nice jacket. It is rainy outside, so good call on the jacket.
Yeah. You know how I knew it was fall? I was driving here in the dark, and there was a giant leaf stuck to one of my windshield wipers. Mm. I took it all the way with me, and that's what fall is all about.
Yeah, I noticed. I was like, oh, it's dark out. It is dark outside. I appreciate that. I like it.
I think daylight savings time is coming soon.
Oh, don't even get me started on that. That whole thing is just...
Did you guys tune in to hear me conjecture about when daylight savings may or may not be beginning?
You know, in Arizona, they don't have it.
Yeah.
Because it's just always difficult to live there, you know? So it's just, like, difficult weather year through. Well, unless... No, that's, you know, during the wintertime, it's, like, nice to be there, they say.
Yeah. I don't know. I have a lot of opinions about daylight savings time, and I'll tell you why. It's because as a child in public school, I had to write a persuasive essay about every year about whether or not it was a good idea to continue to do it. Mm. And I'm just wondering why, you know, everything that little Althea was writing at 11 years old hasn't changed anybody's mind yet. I don't know why we're still doing it. And I wonder if kids still have to be like, hey, child, do you think we should do daylight savings time? Ben Franklin kind of invented it. Are you good with that? Or
yeah, there's persuasive essays. I feel like people do persuasive essays every day when they post comments on Facebook and stuff. That's what all of those ECRs and BCRs got us prepared for, is to just be aggressive on the internet.
Yeah,
for no
but are they giving
reason.
You a thesis, three supporting paragraphs, and a conclusion?
Unfortunately, yes. Yep, unfortunately.
Well, public sure education's good for something.
Yeah.
But yes, anyway, you're listening to The Gap. I'm Althea. Tammy's here. What do we do on this show? We're bridging gaps. We're minding gaps. We're filling them in. Gaps in our collective understanding. Gaps between generations. That's kind of what we're interested in here. For the first half of the show, the two of us get to talk. Today we're doing a news roundup from some local happenings. Lots of times we do interviews. And then in the second half, we have a community question for our listeners, and you can call in at around 8:30, and we'll give you a question. Spoiler alert: it's going to be about Halloween. We get to talk about Halloween 1 week per year, and so we're going to take advantage of it.
It's like it's seasonal, like the pumpkin spices.
Yeah. Yeah, getting to chat about Halloween. So yeah, let's get into the news roundup, shall we?
Sure. Yeah. For the first part, seemed super stoked to talk about this, or following up with this story about the Zenith Energy permit and all of the stuff that recently happened. Mm-hmm. So please do take it away.
Yeah. So Portlanders are probably familiar with Zenith Energy. It's an oil transport terminal out in Industrial Northwest that is a pretty significant polluter, has been a target of environmental activists for quite some time because of the danger that it poses, and that it basically trucks is the wrong word, trains, it transports trains full of oil through low-income communities that, and there has been research done about what the dangers would be if they were to derail, and it's pretty significant, not only just the initial blast, but also like the environmental pollution that it would result in. And so over the summer in August, they got two pretty major permit denials, one from the city about their land use, which the city, like, because they had to apply for a permit, something like that. And the city looked at it again and said that you're out of line with our policies and values, because those were updated because of pressure from environmental advocates. And so based on that denial from the city, the State Department of Environmental Quality also denied their air permit recently.
And what does that mean specifically?
It has to do with air quality. And so, and it's, you know, Zenith was really running it down to the wire, like 4 days from now it was going to take effect and they couldn't do anything about it. But now they're appealing that, and they're appealing the land use issue. And so there's like layers upon layers of now, you know, legal action and litigation that has to get dealt with. And this, the entire time that that's happening, basically, Zenith gets to continue to operate, regardless of the fact that both the city and the state have said that they are too much of a polluter to be allowed to expand or to continue to operate.
I'm shaking my head. You can't see. I'm just like, if the air... There's like so much repercussions, and not just to the communities, but also to the workers themselves, you know, like,
yeah,
you're around all, like, how are they? Sounds like maybe there'll be lawsuits in the future, but
Just, I don't know. I'm sure, you know, people who are very familiar with the process are like well aware that this is kind of how it works and probably expected Zenith to do this. But I think that it is, you know, disappointing that because it took so long to get the city to take action on it, and the DEQ action relies on the city action. So if one of them falls apart, then it's like a whole problem. But the hearing for the land use appeal is on November 16th, and they are taking public comment, which I anticipate will probably be lively, about what the community impact is of Zenith continue to operate there. But even so, you know, even if they win that decision to stop them, you have higher and higher courts of appeals that can continue to try to take issue with the action taken against them.
Right. And there is the community response to this, amongst other things, is an organized protest or a get together happening this Saturday, October 30th at 11. And this is straight off from the website. This is a family friendly climate education outreach event in seasonal scary costumes. Hand out flyers to the many people watching the witches paddle on the Willamette River. So the meetup is going to be at South Bond and South Mead before spreading out to do outreach action. And like I said before, this is going to be on Saturday, October 30th at 11 o'clock a.m. This would be interesting. It's going to be, if you are interested in learning more, there's the website is available. It's the, XRPDX.
Extinction Rebellion, yeah.
Yes, that's Extinction Rebellion, excuse me. And then there's going to be a lot more info on ways to, like, how we as individuals locally can, you know, make an impact in some way. And, you know, just get more educated on this thing that's happening. I know I definitely need to get myself more educated, but also scary costumes and witches paddle, so.
Well, yeah. tis the season to face our fears, if you will.
Yes, yes. And I do have a short actuality. It's about 3 minutes here of audio from Ruth Miller, who's a climate activist. And I want to play this because it kind of draws a picture of how people are affected by climate change, because it's not just, it sometimes maybe feels like, to me at least, it feels like maybe a bit nebulous and like, how does this actually affect me in the day-to-day? And Ruth does a really good job in painting that picture. So I'm going to play it and we'll be back in a second.
Change affects everyone in just about every way. And that means that everyone needs to get involved, particularly to honor the indigenous sisters, mothers, grandmothers, aunties, and daughters who have been taken from us as part of the genocide that climate change is propagating. My name is Ruth Miller. I'm a Dena'ina Athabascan Alaska Native woman from Anchorage, Alaska. The Arctic region and the circumpolar north are experiencing climate change 2 times faster than the rest of the world. So that means that in some areas, our villages, our homes are eroding into the ocean. They are getting buffeted by winter storms because they no longer have sea ice to protect them. We are finding toxins and pollutants in the bodies of our fish, of our caribou, that is then being transferred into the bodies of our people, showing us rising instances of cancer and other diseases. The issue of murdered and missing Indigenous women and girls is prevalent all across Turtle Island, all across this nation, across this continent, across this world. And it is directly tied to the exploitation of our natural resources, because the increasing rates of violence against Indigenous women is concentrated around development projects. The industries that are complicit in climate change and global warming are also complicit with violence against women, violence of our human rights to safety and security. And so when we're talking about climate change, we are not just talking about environmental issues. We are talking about women's rights. We are talking about cultural rights, religious rights, when it comes to desecrating sacred places that are deeply valuable to the cultures of Indigenous people. Climate change affects everyone in just about every way, and that means that everyone needs to get involved. For our communities, it means death. Relocation, the removal of our peoples from our ancestral lands, is the same type of genocide that was forced on our people at the dawn of colonization in the North American continent. We are one with our land. Our cultures, our languages reflect our enduring relationship with land. And we, as the caretakers, we as the first shareholders and the first relations of that land, know that the death of the land, the death of the waters, means our death as well. Even if we were able to adapt to the climate change we are experiencing now and simply move, that means that we would be moving away from our culture, away from our traditions, away from the lifestyles that have sustained us healthily and in wellness for millennia. The role of Indigenous youth worldwide is not only one that emphasizes the knowledge and wisdom that we have gained from millennia of experience and relationship with the natural world, but it is also a role that projects hope towards the future, understanding that we have the ability to use that wisdom and that knowledge to create a more just, more sustainable, and more equal world moving forward.
Thank you, thank you. That was Ruth Miller explaining about climate change, its effect on all of us, and especially women, Indigenous women and Native American women. And oh boy, it is grim. If you are interested in learning more about locally about the Zenith Project and Extinction Rebellion and some more climate action, there is going to be a get-together on Saturday, October 30th at 11 a.m., like I said before. They're going to meet up at South Bond and South Mead before spreading out to do this outreach action. This is a family-friendly climate education outreach in scary costumes. And, of course, watching the witches pedal on the Willamette River.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah. It's fantastic.
Yeah, and it's also the final week before, like, the international, like, climate change.
The summit, yeah.
Summit. I was just going to say meeting. Summit is much more official and fancy, and I think is probably more.
A Zoom summit.
Should we have a meeting? Should we talk about this, you guys? Extinction on Earth is coming. Should we do something? I don't know. But yeah, so definitely a lot of overlapping issues happening right now.
Yes, and I also want to point out for folks who are interested, when I went on the Extinction Rebellion website, there is a whole so much information, but there was a link to the Indigenous Resistance Against Carbon, and they had published a report on the 20th, I believe, and amongst other things, it revealed that Indigenous resistance to fossil fuel infrastructure projects have effectively cut 12% of the annual carbon pollution of the United States and Canada. Yeah.
Not for nothing.
Not for nothing. Yeah, it was really, I don't know why. I mean, I understand why, but this is very interesting and impactful information.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
And we do have a second story for our roundup. Althea, mm-hmm. Hit it.
Yeah, the police and Portland Street Response. There's some stuff happening with them right now. The big news about Portland Street Response is that the Department of Justice said that they can take suicide calls, which were a pretty big, part of their one-year agreement that the police union had to sign off on to create a pilot program, was that they would not be taking suicide calls. And the Department of Justice has a settlement with the city of Oregon because of historically how poorly cops have responded to people in mental health crisis, responded to houseless people.
Killing them.
To be clear, disproportionately killing those people. And so saying that Portland Street Response can take suicide calls, I mean, I think the police union is probably still going to have an objection to that, mm-hmm. but saying that Portland Street Response can, which Portland Street Response was started this year. I feel like, you know, it's been longer. It's been about 8 months that they've been operating, and they've gotten to expand already, but they are, I believe, a social worker, a paramedic, and there's like a group of three, you know, unarmed folks who respond to like low-level calls to 911. And it started in the Lenz neighborhood. It's expanded out into some other neighborhoods in that region. And basically, you know, like suspicious persons calls, you know, hey, there's somebody doing a thing nearby. What's up with that? Maybe the cops would not be responding to that. Mm. That's maybe not what they need. Someone in who's having like behavioral health issues, like illegal burns, people camping, like all that kind of stuff, have been diverted to Portland Street Response. And now there is potential for, in the city like budget redo, to have the program go citywide. And in order to figure out, hey, is that working, PSU studied it for 6 months, and their findings were pretty major.
Yeah, there's some really amazing things that happened. And I want to give a little bit of background to the Portland Rapid Response Team. Used to be made up of, I believe it was 50 police officers who did this voluntarily. And then the cops all quit about 4 months ago.
The team disbanded.
We remember that. And this, some speculate, most people speculate that this was kind of in response to one of the officers being indicted by a grand jury for excessive use of force during last year's protest.
Yeah, because that was the team that was always out at the protest.
Yeah.
They're like on call.
Exactly. And the crew now, the Portland Rapid Response Team, consists of a firefighter, paramedic.
Street response, not rapid response.
Oh, sorry. The street response. Sorry.
You're good.
It is a firefighter, paramedic, a licensed mental health crisis therapist, and two community health workers.
Nice.
And I wanted to follow up with what you said about the burns. The quote unquote legal burns. I don't know if fire can be illegal, but unless, well, it's arson. Okay, never mind, Tam. I'm digressing.
Tammy's defending arson? What a weird turn the gap took this
fire
morning.
In itself.
I'm teasing.
It also cut down on calls that the fire department had to respond to.
Yeah.
And so this is like pretty huge. And there were a couple of things that they could not respond to, things like, if someone has a weapon, then they can't go to the scene.
Mm-hmm.
And up till recently, if someone was seeming like they were threatening to hurt themselves and trigger warning, commit suicide, then they are now allowed to go to the scene. And mm-hmm. It's really interesting, like you said, the PSU study. I mean, it's amazing. It's a relief in that the state needed, that the city needed,
mm-hmm.
and it's just like very clearly showing that this is working.
Yeah,
you know, and
definitely.
If anything, just fund it some more and help it out.
Yeah, and I mean, it goes back to, you know, this is part of the outcome of the defund the police movement,
yeah.
Right? Like, the pilot project was funded because there was budget cuts for PPB. But it also, you know, addresses some of the crucial issues with policing today, which is that police are called to all matter of situations without having training to deal with them. And what the PSU study of the Portland Street Response found is that the outcomes are a lot better for these particular situations when you have, you know, mental health therapists, paramedics, and social workers showing up to help somebody who's in crisis or do a welfare check. Like, a cop with a gun is not necessarily the best equipped to do that, and they're not trained for it.
Exactly.
Which is fine, but, you know, the evolution of our social services has, like, lumped that more and more into their purview, and it's had disastrous results. And so it's really cool to, like, get to see an outcome and get to see some data that exists that, like, no, this actually does make a pretty major difference.
Huge difference. And they are... from the research on this, it seems like some people still don't know that they can utilize this service.
Mm.
Right now, you still need to call 911 and describe the situation in order to have them come.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people express that they don't feel comfortable calling the cops for when they see someone who's having a crisis or something. So, the people power.
Right. And it's like so obvious and yet powerful at the same time to have a third option. You know, it's not doing nothing. It's not calling the cops into a situation that could get volatile and end up with somebody dead. It's, hey, there's somebody out there that actually will respond to this and probably help somebody out in a way that you yourself may not be capable of, and the police wouldn't be either.
Yeah. And for folks who are interested in examining the report some more, it is available on the portland.gov website.
Mm.
And you can read a little bit more about the team itself,
findings,
as
yeah.
well as seeing how they're trained. And the training is really, you know, it's it's heartbreaking that people are in such dire situations that they feel the need to, you know, act out in a way that, like, can be harmful to them or others.
Yeah.
And it's great to have, like, a social worker who, you know, who understands what's going on. And their training is this very, like, it was, I don't know, it almost made me tear up. It was just like, this is what we needed. Like, so many lives could have been saved if we would have just treated people like, you know, like humans and not like danger, you know?
Yeah, totally. And, like, there was a just in the Lentz neighborhood, and Portland Street Response has expanded out since then, there's about a 5% reduction in calls that police would normally respond to, and like 11% for the fire department, which is, like, you know, for being just like in one neighborhood at that point,
right.
Like, that's a pretty decent chunk, you know. But yeah, and I think that it's also, you know, contextualized by what is happening since it started, right? Which is the disbandment of the rapid response team and the fact that the Portland Police Bureau is way understaffed from what they're, like, allowed to have. I think they're, like, down 100 or 200 officers, something like that. And the mayor is proposing to spend a bunch of money to not hire new cops, but to rehire recently retired cops to come back and fill in for some of the gaps in the police bureau right now, and to get body cameras that are required by the settlement with the Department of Justice, which is kind of interesting because it is, like, you know, the first, I don't know, push for more police funding since it got,
right,
since their funding got cut.
Right, yeah.
And the rehired cops get their old pay rate, but they don't get, like, to pick their hours like they would have. And they also accrue pension while they're doing it, so they, like, might be working worse shifts than they would have had with seniority, but they still would, like, be making their same rate of pay. And it would be, like, a shorter-term contract to come back, so.
Interesting. And the Justice Department, I think they're still investigating the police force, excessive force throughout the protests from last year.
Oh yeah, there's like over 3,000 incidents, and we didn't talk about it on the show, but just recently there was this is just more about, you know, Portland police stuff, but there was just recently a lawsuit that finally, like, got resolved that actually has the, not like the badge numbers of officers, but like the numbers that they were wearing out at protests that nobody knew what they corresponded to. This lawyer had tried to get that info from the city, and the city kind of, like, sidestepped it, and they're like, well, we can't give out their badge numbers. It's like, no, it's a 2-digit number. I gave you a photo of what I wanted. And I, and this judge was like, it seems like the city, like, willfully misunderstood what this person was asking for. And so now those, like, 2-3-digit numbers that the police officers were wearing can now correspond to a name, and without a name, without identifying the police officer that, you know, might have been involved in excessive force, you can't, you know, have any kind of, like, action against them, like, lawsuit wise. So that's pretty big as well. And folks are, you know, going through hours and hours of protest footage to identify which officers are doing what.
The Bureau, and I'm reading here in this Oregon Live article, the Bureau also anticipates one-time funding to hire an outside consultant to analyze the Portland police response to protests. I'm
curious about who that consultant is.
Yeah,
to put it mildly.
Yeah. Luckily, Commissioner Joanne Hardesty is seeking to get some funds from the contingency funds to expand the Portland Street Response Team, which hopefully will be stocked fully with 24 people that are working full time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. I don't know. There's a lot going on, and it's all tied up in the city budget process,
right,
as well. But, you know, I think it's with the PSU report, you know, it's like very convincing, and even just, you know, anecdotal responses that they got from folks who, you know, ended up having the Portland Street Response involved with them, like, it did really, like, make a difference. And so I'm not I don't think that there is a compelling reason not to take it citywide. And from the reporting that we've seen, like, Ryan, Rubio, and MAPS say that they all support taking Portland Street Response citywide. Not sure where Wheeler lands on it, but...
trying to get me started.
He could be outvoted. He's the police commissioner, among other titles.
What's it? What was tear gas Teddy?
No one's.
Are we allowed to say that? Oh, I said it.
I was gonna say maybe he forgot that was his nickname.
He forgot it. It's like having.
Remember when you were like poisoning entire neighborhoods last year? What was that about?
Right there. Oh my goodness, that can be.
Yeah, and the whole CS gas thing again. More Portland State studies on the impact that had on people. That's having on waterways. We got CS gas banned in the city, but that doesn't cover all types of tear gas.
And there was also
Did I ever want to intimately know that there were so many different types of tear gas, mind you, that are banned in actual war?
Yeah.
And there were so many of them that were like expired.
They were
you should, if you're going to gas somebody, do it by 2008.
Sorry. You got the line somewhere, right?
We can't gas them with this. It's expired.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much fallout from that that we're still. I mean, you know, this stuff takes a long, you know, it takes a while. And yeah. I was very cynical last year, and now, I think, you know, I've mentioned this before. Seeing things actually materialize, you know, and become,
right,
you know, from ideas to actions, from actions to legislation, from legislation to protected realities.
Yeah.
And it's
well, it's and small. I also, you know, shout out to the people who've been involved in these issues for a long time,
right,
and have that kind of patience, you know, and who have been able to keep up pressure that we have things at the point that they are now.
Yeah, and it's not and some of the people that got involved in it, you know, ranges from lawyers to, you know, people whose family who's personally been affected by the police bureau. So yeah, shout out to them, and thank you so much for all of your hard work, and thank you. you know, making me feel a little bit safer. I'm sure, you know, making all of us feel a little bit safer.
Yeah.
And also looking at how we can help people that are in serious crisis without having them just, you know, like what happened in Lentz Park, not like, what was it, a couple of months ago?
Yeah, it was
just
in March or April.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah, that one was especially heartbreaking because it was like a half hour before the Portland Street Response like was able to take calls.
Yeah,
like they started at 9 or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, away at the beast, you know.
Yeah.
Little by little.
And yeah, like we said, this is going to keep going. I think until next year, February or March till next year is when it's going to be like the full 1 year pilot.
It's February. Or something.
Yeah. So hopefully we'll have some more information, and I hope that PSU keeps going with these reports and analyzes how, you know, this translates to different neighborhoods, and you know, hopefully we can maybe have someone on the show and get more support.
Yeah. Sweet.
Awesome.
Are we ready to take a little break?
And we are.
Come back for a spooky Halloween question.
Oh, I should have done a Halloween song.
It's okay. I've already heard the Monster Mash a lot this week.
Okay, not Monster Munch. Not Monster Munch. Oh my God, Monster Mash. Yes,
the long anticipated sequel.
This is The Gap on KBOO Portland. Thank you so much. We'll be back in just a couple of moments.
Llego a Puerto, voy para Mayarín. Guapo Juanita y Chan Chan, en el mar se rían arena, como sacudí el jibe, a Chan Chan le daba pena.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. This is The Gap. I'm Tammy, and with me is Althea. How are you, Althea?
Hello, I'm good.
Welcome to part two.
Welcome to part two, everybody. This is our community question segment, and we do want you to call in. Of course, Halloween is this weekend. Have you guys heard? And so, this is our one time of year that we get to talk about Halloween.
Like pumpkin spice lattes.
Exactly. Although, I think the season for those gets more and more stretched out. We don't need to get into the politics of putting nutmeg in your coffee. It's fine. We're asking about Halloween. What are you doing for Halloween? How are you celebrating? What are you going to dress up as? What was your best ever Halloween costume? What are you doing? And what's it all about? We would love to hear from you. Maybe get some ideas. Last minute Halloween costumes. 503-231-8187. Give us a call. We would love to hear about your Halloween plans, what you're going to be. Sometimes it's like, you know, I don't know that I'm going to fully deliver on the costume this year, but check out this photo of me from 3 years ago. I was on the top of my game at that point.
You had the time, you know, and especially for folks who are still, you know, sheltering in place and having a Halloween in, really wondering what are you going to do? Like any kind of a special something? Are you going to watch a bunch of scary movies? Movie recommendations also.
Yeah,
only scary ones, though. You don't like scary?
I don't like scary movies.
How do you feel about The Gremlins?
I haven't seen it. You want to know? This is scandal. This will get the people upset. What, the Disney Halloween movie with the witches?
Halloween Town.
Yeah,
not Hocus Pocus, which is a great show.
Oh, it was Hocus Pocus.
Hocus Pocus, yeah.
Yeah, I saw Hocus Pocus for the first time ever last year.
Nice.
Yeah.
You have no response after that. That's a little...
Well, I mean, you know, it was good to finally get in on the joke.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And the costumes that people do are pretty cool.
Right, yeah.
My probably favorite scary movie is The Lost Boys with Kiefer Sutherland.
I've never seen that.
Where he's a vampire.
I know, everyone tells me
it's
that I should.
So
I know.
Everyone. I love that movie. My dad really likes that movie, and my sister and I watched it, and we loved it. But it's, like, kind of cheesy and also bad in its own way.
Well, that's
and
a,
I think
a
I
fun
told
part my, about Halloween.
Yeah, I told my dad that. I was like, it's bad, but it's so good. And he was, like, offended that I said it was at all bad.
That's funny. Yeah, Halloween. It's right around the corner. What is it, on a Sunday, the 31st?
It's on a Sunday, yeah.
Every time the 31st.
But it's, you know, people celebrate all weekend.
Oh, yeah, as they should.
I've seen some great decorations out and about. One of my neighbors has, like, a swing set in their front yard. They put a skeleton on it.
Nice.
That's scary. What is up?
That's you know.
A fake one, as far as I know.
One, right?
Yeah.
Again, your Halloween plans. What are you doing? How are you getting... what are you going to dress up as? Best Halloween costume. And, what are you going to be doing? 503-231-8187. We'd love to hear it.
Yeah. I saw something interesting earlier today, actually, online that was like, oh, the reason that Halloween is so good and so fun is because it's, like, one of the only major holidays that doesn't center around family. And I thought that was kind of, like, an interesting take on it. But also, I think that there's, you know, that doesn't speak to, like, every holiday, but there's a wide variety of traditions out there, and a real sort of free-flowing ethos as to what you can and can't do on Halloween. For example, again, same as last year, should we be bobbing for apples? Probably not. Maybe we let that one go. When I was in preschool, we played a game on Halloween where they hung donuts from string on the ceiling, and you had to go around and bite them. I don't know why.
We do have a caller on
the line.
Okay, go
ahead. Well, I just remembered the donut story. Hi, caller.
Hold on 1 second. Edie, are you there?
Edie?
Can you hear us?
Hello?
Oh, there you are.
Me?
Hi, Edie.
So I'm thinking that it would be really fun, COVID safety, car safety, meeting this Saturday in costume, 11 a.m. at the west side of the Tillicum Bridge, foot bicycle bridge on South Bond and South Mead. You can be wearing costumes of the hazmat suits because of the poisons that Zenith Oil Terminal is spreading, or you could be wearing costumes as a neighborhood net emergency team or street medics in providing first aid to the tens of thousands of people who will be disabled or injured in the train blast. You could be dressed up as oil pipelines. You can get those collapsible net laundry bags that you kind of cover with a black Dollar Tree, you know, plastic coat or whatever else, and ride on it. Or you could make a big oil trains with your bicycles and tunnels, or a bunch of folks having hula hoops with sheets between them. You could be coming as doctors without a hospital because Providence Hospital, Emmanuel Hospital, is blown up by Zenith oil trains. Or you could be coming as the dead fish in the waterways, or broken treaties, or you could come as corrupt cops. And you could come in many different ways of something that's more horrifying than any of these scary movies and haunted houses. And you could be doing something constructive and positive to make the world less scary and less dangerous and more fair.
Wow, those are a lot of great ideas, Edie. Thank you.
I really appreciate it.
It
brings a message. Yeah,
yeah, thank you,
Edie.
So much. I like the dead fish one.
You take care, Edie.
I think that there's, yeah, see, now I got the gears turning. What could I do with a hula hoop and a trash bag and a dream? Gotta incorporate
a dream, yeah.
Get the dream in there, you know?
And speaking of dreams, we do have one more caller on the line. Felicity, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
All is well. What would you like to share with us?
I wanted to share a little bit of my Halloween tradition. I really enjoy watching this movie, Cheeky's Delivery Service. It is not really a scary movie. It's a more like family-friendly movie, but that's a movie I really enjoy watching on Halloween. I also plan to carve pumpkins.
Nice.
And feed. I have a flock of chickens, and they love eating the pumpkins. So watching Kiki's Delivery Service and just feeding the chickens some pumpkin guts.
That's great. Yeah, thank you so much for sharing with us. Gotta incorporate our animal friends into the holiday, I would say.
Thank you so much, Felicity. Really, really happy that you shared that with us. I have that visual in my head, a little chickens eating pumpkins.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, that reminds me, there's some cows that live not far from my house that eat everybody's pumpkins after Halloween. I'm excited for them.
They just give them like full pumpkins and they eat it?
Oh, yeah. Aww. Well, they step on them first. Have you seen the videos?
Oh, I've seen the elephants do it,
yeah,
at the zoo.
Yeah, the ones from the Orchid Zoo.
Oh, I wish they were
just
in captivity.
The crunch that the elephant, yeah, like the crunch of crushing a big pumpkin.
Oh. Well, elephants. That's nice.
Bittersweet.
Right. If people have any ideas for costumes for their animal friends, I would love to know. Cause
yeah.
My doggy needs a costume. She needs something.
Yeah, give us a call. 503-231-8187. We're talking all things Halloween. Costume ideas. What's the best costume you've ever done? What are you going to do? Maybe you're watching Kiki's Delivery Service and feeding pumpkin to your chickens.
Oh.
And we love to hear about that.
Yeah.
So yeah, give us a call. 503-231-8187. I did do a little bit of early Halloween celebration because I carved a pumpkin upside down and turned it into a pumpkin helmet and
what?
Took pictures with my sister with a pumpkin on my head.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah.
I saw it on the social media.
On the social media, yeah.
Did you do you line it on the inside or is it just wet?
No, I just planned on taking a shower afterwards. There is some, I mean, I did, look, Tammy, I did my best. It was a pretty heavy, it was a big old pumpkin. So I got some guts in my hair. You know, that's the behind the scenes thing that they don't tell you on Instagram, you know?
They make it seem very glamorous.
Yeah, really glamorous to put a giant pumpkin on your head and take pictures in your bathtub. Just you know, thinking about what one would do if they were a gourd. So that's fun. Maybe that's something that you can fully do in your house. It was like a little bit, it felt odd to do it upside down, like not cut the stem off at all. And, you know, me personally, my head is bigger than I thought it was. But hey, we made it work. That's a great inside activity. If you're not going outside, Carve a pumpkin, stick it on your head, take a photo, take a shower afterwards, I would recommend.
That's step-by-step instructions. And we do have one more caller on the line. How are you?
What's happening?
All is well. Thank you so much for calling. We'd love to hear your comment.
Hey, there's a beach cleanup and a spooky surf session on Saturday at Oswald West.
Ooh, and what does that consist of?
There's trail maintenance, there's the walking trail going down to the beach, and then a beach cleanup, and then everyone's going to be dressing up in costumes and surfing with spooky costumes.
Ooh, that's cool. Do you know what you're going to dress as? Yeah, do you know what you're going to dress as to surf?
Absolutely. Dress up as a shark and try to eat people in the lineup.
There you go. That's I was hoping you would stick the landing on that. I'm sure a vampire could surf as well.
And I do Dracula.
Oh yeah, there you go. Well, very cool. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. A beach Later. Cleanup. Have a good one.
A beach clean. There you go. Now that's what I'm talking about. We do have one more caller on the line. Are you with us?
I'm here, and I just wanted to share with you a little bit of holiday tradition outside of the Gregorian calendar, because you know, a lot of us are not really super into imposing hierarchy in a way like the Gregorian calendar does. And in a time before it was imposed on this particular holiday, this was a lunar-centric holiday, because the dark of the moon is the time when the spirits are near. So the 31st is just some, I bet the church did it. I don't even know the history of it. But what I do know is the Day of the Dead is the dark of the moon. And the dark of the moon will be in Scorpio, as it always is this time of year. And it will be the 4th of November. So I'll be communing with my lost relation when the veil is thin on the dark of the moon and the Day of the Dead. So be sure that on the Day of the Dead, you put out sweet treats for the spirits and offerings for those who've gone, because they're nearby. They're as close as they've ever been on that day. And we want to celebrate them and tell them that we still remember them and we hold them dear. So anyway, many spooky holiday cheers to you.
Thank you.
I mean, to you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I really appreciate having those context, the exact dates. I'll be keeping an eye out on the 4th like a Thursday or something?
I think it is a Thursday.
It's a Thursday.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that made me think of, I think the way, because I didn't know that, like, the first also is like a is it a holiday? Because there's a thing called All Saints Day.
Yeah,
and
All
I wonder
Saints
if
Day,
that's like
I think
the,
November 1st.
Like they said, like the Gregorian.
Sort of a Christian rebuke.
It's a rebuke. Interesting. I don't know.
All Saints. I don't know. Again, and I think great thing to point out about the Gregorian calendar, doesn't always line up with, you know, the moon and what the moon is up to.
Yeah.
Because of its rigidity,
disregard to nature and all living things.
Yeah. And, you know, co-opting of, right, you know, pagan traditions and putting it under an umbrella.
Speaking of calendars, in Ethiopia, it's like 2012 or 18 or something.
Oh.
Yeah, we have a different calendar, and we have 13 months a year.
Uh-huh.
And the day doesn't end at midnight. It ends when the sun of the next day, or when it gets dark, the sun doesn't lay go to bed, sets. Once the sun sets, that's when a day ends, and it starts once the sun rises. So it's not like at midnight, it's a new day. It's cool. It's very cool.
So I think I need to draw a diagram. So, but between sunup and sundown and sunup, what is that time?
Did I explain it right? Anywho's, that's neither here nor there. But yes, we'll get this. It's different calendars.
There are a ton of different calendars out there, and none of them are like, you can't be totally perfect if you tried. You know,
because
just of the way that our planet rotates around the sun.
Yeah, right.
To my knowledge, anyway. Again, I took a year of astronomy, not a ton. not the fount of information I might like to be, but yeah, totally different calendars. But yeah, we're talking about Halloween. To circle that a little bit, if folks want to call in 503-231-8187, let us know, what are you doing for Halloween? What have you got going on? What are you dressing up as? What was your best ever Halloween costume? What is the significance of Halloween to you? Would love to hear about that.
What Halloween movies do you like to watch? Any family or personal traditions that you like to partake in?
Yeah, we heard about movies to watch, beach cleanup, spreading information about climate crisis at the Witch's Paddle, prepping for the Day of the Dead on November 4th, which is a Thursday, we found out,
and leave the treats for the spirits to celebrate them.
So yeah, we'd love to hear from you at 503-231-8187. We got a few minutes left.
Yes. As the people call in at 503-231-8187.
Oh, is that the number?
Okay, and share their Halloween. That's what you said. And share their Halloween fun stories and costume ideas with us. I wanted to share what I'll be dressing up as.
Oh, yeah. Do, please.
All right. Tara Thornton from True Blood.
Ooh.
I can't do a mic drop because the mic has an anchor and it has an arm to it. But if I could, then I would. I'm very excited. I've never dressed up as a vampire, so, and this is going to be her. Spoiler alert! It's going to be after she becomes a vampire.
Okay,
been out for like 10 years. If you haven't watched it, it's on you.
Guys, we're going to talk about True Blood. Brace yourselves or change the channel.
Costume ideas, Halloween festivities, and also when we talked about the Halloween movies, you know, Halloween Town was filmed in Oregon.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you know where?
Not Bend.
Okay. Sorry, Bend. I guess it wasn't there.
It's either Bend or not Bend. I can't remember.
That's how we kind of define ourselves in Oregon, is whether are you in Bend or are you not in Bend?
And they put out, like, you know, they make it like Halloween-y.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and it's very, I saw some pictures online. I'm like, oh, I want to go to there. It looks so fun.
Yeah, I had to revise some of my, because, you know, I had a big dream for Halloween, and then I was like, wait, actually, I thought of some words, but I didn't know what they meant. I was like, you know, who's ever been a sexy inventor? I thought that would be a funny thing to be.
Albert Einstein? No, I'm kidding.
Right, but I was like, how do I do this and not be a mad scientist or steampunk? And all I could really think of was gender-bent Nikola Tesla. But I didn't really have a suit on hand, so...
Mm.
You know, keeping that one in the noggin for next year. Sorry to everyone who wanted to see me as gender-bent Nikola Tesla. But yeah, that was my idea. So I had to switch it up. I'm going to try to do young Donna from Mamma Mia 2. Here we go again in her performance wear. Love that movie. Big favorite of mine. You know, but it's such a tough balance, because you want to be something recognizable, but also well executed, but also, you know, fun. Gotta be something fun for Halloween.
Gotta be something fun or scary
or scary.
It don't have to be something fun. Any hoosies, we do have another caller on the line. Zeki, how are you?
Hello, I'm doing fine.
It's nice to hear from you. Would you like to share your Halloween plans with us?
I just like to just talk about the favorite time that I had for, it wasn't for Halloween, but a few days after, 2 days after, is Dia de los Muertos. And I dressed my bike up as a donkey, right? And then I was like a skeleton figure, but we just went around to all the different, parks, and we're just drinking beer and riding our bikes and going to just playing around and being goofy. But the donkey bike, I printed it onto a piece of paper, big huge S piece of paper, and then S is kind of donkey.
You keep going. Yeah,
you're good.
But the last stop was a cemetery park in San Diego, which is pretty cool. It's got like a playground and graves.
Okay. And question about the donkey bike, because I'm trying to think about these logistics. Was it like that you had the paper around you while you were on the bike?
Or it was like, it's like just a cardboard cutout on both sides.
So oh, okay, you got cool.
The donkey, you could see the donkey. It kind of looked inappropriate a little bit, especially when it slipped down. It looked like I was kind of like not.
No, it's okay. We can figure it out. Yeah, it's all good, Zaki. That sounds great. That is a very creative idea of just like dressing up your bicycle.
Well, hey, I like that. You know, incorporating how am I going to get there?
Yeah, yeah.
Why not?
And then you're mobile. You can go around hitting up all the spots and being socially distant and sociable as well.
Yeah, very cool. Well, thank you for sharing that.
I'm going to keep that one in the mind bank for sure.
Yeah, because then you don't have the situation where you're like, well, why am I a pirate getting out of a car? You know. This does not make sense with the fantasy.
This is true.
I can only hang out with people by the water this Halloween because I have to come up on a boat.
That is really. I like that because it brings the whole thing together. I like that.
I think that's also especially good for people who like are already too good at doing costumes. Mm. You know, people into cosplay. They've been planning all year. It's like, oh, it's October 1st and I've already finished my beautiful costume and I'm gonna look awesome. I guess I should
taking it to the next level.
I should do something to my motorcycle, I think.
Yeah. Oh man, the possibilities just opened up so much.
I wish there was more dressing up holidays.
We're about to make it. We're about to make some more. I think there's different cultures have different dressing up holidays. I think it's just so neat that like people just like to dress up with stuff, you know. And of course, we can get into the, you know, not being yourself for one day and escaping, you know, not having to be bound to being yourself for one day and stuff like that. But it's neat, you know, it's a nice concept. And I think we can bring, you know, some of us put on a costume every day as well. Get real heady up in
here. Yeah, heady. Well, hey, maybe it's a good opportunity to think about your daily costume. And maybe it's time to switch it up. I don't know.
Gonna let that one just land real quick. No, this is great. This is great stuff. I'm thinking of. I have a lot of interesting ideas now. The beach cleanup. If the listener who mentioned the beach cleanup would like to send us a message about some more information about it, and a website, we can link it to our show notes on the KBOO website. Yeah. So, on Instagram, we're The Gap Radio. So you can hit us up there because we'd love to hear more info. Share it some more with circulate it amongst the listeners.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Well, Tammy, I was just going to say, if you dressed as a vampire all the time, that'd be fine with me.
When I was in high school, vampires were very, very cool. And there were kids that put on like fake vampire teeth just like throughout the year.
Yeah.
I it was cool, you know. Mm-hmm. It was scary for sure, but but it was cool.
I was scared of those kids.
I was scared. Yeah, yeah. The lead vampire also had a locker next to mine, and she, I don't know.
The lead one.
She was so scary.
Wow.
Well, no, I was scared. She wasn't scary. It's all on me.
No, I was
projecting.
But it sounds like she adopted a sort of fake tooth situation to lend that. Aura.
She was the first out of all of them, though. So I'll give her that. God, I wish I remember her name. I think her name was Rachel or something.
Shout out to Rachel, the middle school vampire.
Mm-hmm.
This is your time.
This is your shining every day. Like the cosplayers and all the goths are like, this is the time to shine.
Yeah, definitely. I was just going to mention because, like, I'm from Washington and Twilight Mania was a thing.
Oh, of course.
The style of Twilight, the teens and the tweens are loving the Twilight style from when I was younger, which is like very interesting. It's like, oh, you want to dress like Bella, huh? Interesting.
Well, if you're going to dress like Bella, I don't want to hear anyone making fun of skinny jeans side parts or layering like five different t-shirts like
I'm kind of into the layering.
Yeah, of course. What?
I'm okay with getting rid of skinny jeans, but the tank top under the long sleeve.
Yep. I'm wearing that right now.
Oh my gosh.
I'm sorry. That's what they call an undershirt.
That's more vampire coming from you right now.
Top to bottom,
this is vampire.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Well, you have about 2 more minutes left to the program.
We should probably wrap it up, don't you think?
Yeah, sure. If anyone does call, then we may or may not be able to answer. But in the meantime, we, again, like to thank everyone for tuning in, and also thank everyone who donated during KBOO's membership drive.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that
really
was awesome.
Appreciate it.
I was just going to mention that the we have an Afro-Caribbean sweatshirt for mm-hmm. the most recent music marathon that we did. That's still available on our website, kboo.fm. Worth checking out. The design is pretty cool looking.
Shout out Michelle
who designed it. They're awesome. And yeah, we really appreciate everybody who's been supporting us. We appreciate your continued support. And thank you for sharing your Halloween ideas.
Indeed.
I think that my Halloween worldview just got bigger.
Yeah. Well, Zeki like blew me away with that last one.
Yeah.
The bike. Yes, and I hope everyone has a very safe, fun, enjoyable and relaxing Halloween. And again, for folks who are interested in the get-together on Saturday, October 30th at 11 a.m., that is hosted by Extinction Rebellion here in Portland. They're going to be meeting up at South Bond and South Mead before spreading out and distributing some material to the good people. This is a family-friendly event. Come rest up in costumes.
Spooky.
And watch the
I like that
the
people
witches.
Did spooky voices spooky to us. This
voices.
Is like the best episode of the year.
Thank you all so much. Yes, and we will see you soon.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Media coordinator. Our web and new media coordinator is responsible for KBOO's website and social media accounts. Applicants should have experience administering a CMS.